God for that. Last week, I began to speak about what I call walk, stand, sit. Walk, stand, sit. So you walk, you stand, and you sit. Now, and I said that these are three spiritual positions that you can take to be blessed of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord comes to people who know how to walk in Christ, who know where to stand in Christ, and who know how to sit in Christ. And there are three different positions every believer must attain. You must learn to get it. Now, I must tell you, when you get those positions, you are definitely going to be walking in the blessing. You are definitely going to be sitting in the blessing. You are definitely going to be standing in the blessing. So we began to teach ourselves how that can happen to us. And our open scripture was in Psalm 1. The verse 1 to 3, I'll just give a little background, then we'll move on to what I'll do today. Psalm 1, the verse 1 to 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So, a man who walks in this will not be blessed. But he didn't end there. Then the verse 2 says, but his delight, that means, if you are not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you are not standing in the way of sinners, you are not sitting in the seat of the mockers or scornful, you have done well, but that is not all. What are you doing? You must do something else. It is not enough to say, I am not sinning. It's not enough to say, I'm not drinking. It's not enough to say, I don't commit any sin. You have done well by not doing that. But what are you doing? In Christ Jesus, where you position yourself, it's more important than what you don't do. Incidentally, in Christ, we come to position ourselves before we can even get ourselves out of things. Otherwise, there will be unbelievers, people who have not received Christ, who tell you that they don't do this, they don't do this, they don't do this. But that is not it. So he says, but his delight. And so that is what we are looking at. When you go through the scriptures, his delight is in the law of the Lord. When you go into the law of the Lord, you will rather see that God will give us three positions. And so, when you read, excuse me, when you read Romans chapter 8, from the verse 28, then you see some of the positions God gives. It says, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now look at the verse 30. And says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called, calling. Then whom he called, them he justified, justification. And whom he justified, them he glorified. So we see the calling, we see the justification, and we see the glorification. And all these are positions in Christ we must learn to be in. Now, and we came back to Paul's summary. Paul summarized what he had presented to the church, what he has been given to give to the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he said, I was given this to be given to you, first of all, for you to know that Christ died. And we now realize that the first position is the cross. Christ died on the cross. That's where we all begin. That is where every believer finds his beginning. So that position is what enters every child of God. So we have to remember the cross. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. The cross is a position that changed our lives and took us into the glory, into the blessing, into the greatness of God. So we don't have to forget that. Then number two, he talks about the fact that, and Christ rose again for our justification. Justification. So the rising of Christ from the dead brought a certain position for Christians. And today I'll be talking about that one more. And then the last thing is that when Christ rose again, they were not just happy. They saw him, but he took his place, his position at the right hand of the Father, which is a very great position he has taken, where you and me will be. That is where we are glorified. That is where we are glorified. So we now want to look at today what I want to bring to you. And I'll try and do a bit of a summary of the Wednesday And then after church, I will tell you what we'll be doing on the Wednesdays and what we'll be doing. I want to separate that. But today, I want to look at, continue with the walk, stand, sit. Walk, stand, sit. And from what I've told you, you will realize that we walk in our calling through or by the cross of Christ Jesus. Through the cross. Through the cross. That is how we walk in our calling. Nobody has a call until you get to the cross. Nobody can be said, God called me, until you got to the cross. And all of us sitting here got to the cross in one time or the other before we receive our calling to become even the children of God. Am I talking to somebody? So the calling can never come without the cross. Number two, we also stand in our justification by the resurrection power that Jesus released when he came out. And I will talk about that more today. And we also sit in the glory with him by his ascension and his sitting at the right hand side of the Father. Now, the key to all this position, the key, how we can get into all this position, is remembrance. I wish you can tell somebody remember. Look at somebody behind you and say, remember. Look at somebody on your side and say, remember. Say, remembrance. Say, remembrance. Now, that is where I'm going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verse 1 to 3. And he says, moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. So, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. So, all the things Paul listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that is, we are saved at the cross, we are justified by his resurrection, ascension into heaven, that position that when Paul said, as last of all, I was the only one who saw him. How did Paul see him? He saw him in his glory. Paul didn't see Jesus when he was walking on earth. Paul only saw. The rest of the people saw him when he was on earth. When he resurrected on earth, they saw him. But as for Paul, he saw Jesus when he was still in his glory. When Jesus was speaking to Paul, Jesus was in heaven. When Jesus was converting Paul, Jesus was in heaven. So Paul said that, last of all, as for me, I got him when he was in heaven. I'm the last to be saved by that. So we see the three positions here. And when we see the three positions here, fact is, the point Paul is making here is that never forget those three things. Never forget the cross. Never forget the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I like it when Paul writes to the Philippians and said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. You see, that is the position you should never forget. Never forget about the cross. Your victory, your walk is in the cross. The cross, when you walk in the cross, you will have all the blessing. Unfortunately for us, the church is always forgetting. We are soon forgetting the cross that Jesus. And Jesus said something. He said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Tell somebody, take up your cross. Why? Because that is the beginning. That is the place of glory. That is the place of blessing. Take up your cross and follow me. We walk in the cross. We walk by the cross. The cross is the symbol of the Christian life. Can I hear somebody say amen? Blessing is not a symbol of Christian life. God will bless you, but that's not a symbol. Because there are unbelievers who are more blessed than you. They have everything. They know everything. They possess anything they want to do, they will do. But they are not blessed. They are not blessed according to the blessing of the Lord. So you must understand, the symbol of Christianity is not just blessing, it's not car, it's not house, it's not a good life. Otherwise, people will not give themselves to be cut asunder and killed. But they did that because they want to be with the cross. The cross means death. It means what? Dying to self. A lot of Christians are too alive. We are too alive to be children of God. We are too alive to be in the testimony of God's books. We love ourselves too much. We are not dead to self. We have our own desires. Yesterday I was listening to a man of God. He said, when we use the word ambition, normally, the ambition is not a good thing. The ambition is for self-gratification. A lot of people say, I have a good ambition, but it's not. When you go deeper, you will notice that their heart is on themselves. But we are not ready to die. Christians are not ready to take up their own cross. The cross also means suffering. Suffering for Christ. Suffering for his name. Suffering for the faith. We must be ready to suffer for our faith. Can I hear someone say amen? Can I hear someone say amen? You must be ready to suffer for your faith. Hallelujah! I can't see your face, so I'm not seeing what you are doing. But it's a fact you must take. It means death. It means suffering. We must be ready to suffer for our faith. You must be ready to suffer for the name of Jesus. That is the cross. It is the place of blessing. It is the place of promotion. It's the place that God himself makes you better off than any other thing. It's the cross is not for just church buildings. It's not for church buildings. It's for us to carry. Look at somebody and say, take up your cross. When you are going through some hard times because you are a child of God, how do you take it? They counted themselves worthy to suffer for Christ. As for us, when we are suffering today for Christ, we see it as unfortunate. And that's because the pulpit has done it so. We, those preaching here, we made it so. We made it look like when you come to God, the best way you can see God's promotion is when you have a car. We make it look like the best way you can see God's promotion is when you have a house. We make it look like the best way you can see God's blessing is when you have money in your account. But it is not so. Your pocket may be empty, but God is with you. God can be with you and deliver you. Listen to me. He will neither leave you nor forsake you. That is the blessing. But we have turned it around. We are not ready to suffer a little bit. See somebody who has given his life to Christ. Many years ago, people give their life to Christ and they are persecuted. They are forsaken and they go out. Uncle Arthur, I know your story so much. They had to look for people to live with. We know so many people who had to look for people to stay with. Christians had to accommodate them. Some of them didn't even know where to lay their heart. But they said, we will never deny this Jesus. Today, let it happen to somebody. I pray for you that you will understand that suffering is part of the calling. For some of us, you were called to suffer. And the suffering is not to kill you, but it is to bring Christ more and better in your life and around you, to give a testimony to everybody. So it is for suffering. It's for suffering. Suffering. Amen. So the cross means that. The cross means death. It means suffering. It means sacrifice. Sacrifice. We are ready to sacrifice our lives. We are ready to sacrifice. If you are not ready to sacrifice your life for Jesus, it means you are not at the cross. You are not carrying your cross. Hello? Hello? Let us eschew this cheap Christianity. This come bless me Christianity. Let's forget it. The true blessing will come when your heart is ready. When your heart is ready, God will protect you and bless you. But people who are not ready to sacrifice their lives, how will they sacrifice their money? How will they sacrifice their time? How will they sacrifice? The cross also means repentance. The cross means repentance. When you are taking your cross, you want to repent. Now, repentance is not just only when you did it and received Christ, but repentance is when you continue coming before God with your heart to be cleansed. The cross means that. The cross also means surrender. It means turning away. Now, last Wednesday, I ended by saying, no matter what it is, every believer, no matter what it is, you will suffer for something. Something will hit you. Ours may be in different levels, but we will have it. But be ready to go through it because you are carrying your cross. That's why the Bible calls us soldiers of Christ, because we carry our own cross. Amen. So let me go to the two. Stand, because I spoke about this on Wednesday, so I want to go to the second one. Stand in your justification. Remember the resurrection of Christ. Justification is when God has made you look like you have never gotten to any sin through before. He has justified you, he has cleansed you, he has made you whole. There are positions in Christ that God gives to his children. And we need to get to that place. We stand in the justification. Why? God purchased our rights and he has given it to us. He bought it and gave to us. So when Christ rose from the dead, the people saw him and saw that, oh, so Christ after all is back from death. You know, when he died and they buried him, they thought that was the end of their faith. You remember the two men who were going to Emmaus, the two disciples who gave up all the hope, and they were on their way to Emmaus. As they were going, then Jesus appeared to them and was walking with them and was talking to them. They didn't know it was Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, Jesus introduced himself. When they got to know it was Jesus Christ, their hope came back. Listen to me. Your justification is in the hope that you have. There is assurance. If Jesus is risen from the dead, I am telling you, you are assured to also live your life to the full. Can I hear somebody shout a big amen? You are justified to live. You are justified to walk in faith. You are justified. It is not about you. It is not about me. It is not about who you are. It's not about what you have. It's not about what you don't have. It is about the fact that Christ Jesus rose from the dead and he showed himself to us to give us the hope, to give us the faith, to give us all the victory to understand that we can be victorious here on this earth. Today, I see you becoming victorious. You know why? Not because of you. Because Jesus rose. Jesus rose. You have the victory. Tell somebody, I have the victory. So we stand in hope because we have been justified. We stand in faith because we have been justified. We stand in our righteousness because it has been purchased for us. We walk, we stand in our victory over Satan and over death. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. You and me are more than conquerors. There is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. Somebody put your hands together and bless the Lord. The Lord has positioned us for this great victory. Great victory. You are justified for it. It is for you. It is not for some. It is for you. The blessing in the Lord is for you. The prosperity in the Lord is for you. The healing in the Lord is for you. Everything that the Lord did, you are justified to walk in them because Christ Jesus rose from the dead to give us that full assurance. To give us that full assurance. The fact that he's not in the grave is to let you know that you are justified to walk as a victorious child of the living God. That is why I believe you may not have now, but that is not your end. He will work it out. Healing is your portion. I like it when the Bible says healing is the bread of the children. Because Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered sickness. He conquered Satan. He came out with a key in his hands. And he said, lo, I have the keys of death and life. And I give it unto you. And that is our justification. The fact that he rose from the dead. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are more than what the enemy can take. And today I speak over somebody's life. Whatever you are going through, may it bow to you because you have been justified to live. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ released power to us to dominate our world. It released power. And today may you walk in that power. May you carry that power. May you have that power. Have the resurrection power. Go out there and defeat anything that the enemy is doing. You are not one of those things. Coronavirus will be under your foot. Can I hear you shout a big amen, somebody, and put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. I know that as Christians, many things happen. But you must know. So when Christ rose, he brought the assurance of eternal life. Amanakatabaya. Assurance. He justified us that we will really be in heaven. That is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, that if it is only in this life that we have hope, then we are of all men the most miserable. You know why? Because Christ rose again and he ascended. So it means we have hope. Tell somebody, I have hope. And may your hope give you faith. 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 I have hope that you will be all right. I have hope that something good will happen to you. The hope that Christ brought to you is that it will be well with you. Receive the wellness of Christ. By the power of the resurrection, I announce to you, your life is changing. Hallelujah. By the power of the resurrection. Amen. That is one of the things Christ bequeathed to the church. And it's so powerful that the enemy fears it. Because the devil could not hold him captive. And the devil cannot hold you captive. I said, the devil will not hold you captive. And the devil cannot hold you captive. Whatever is hanging on you is for a season. But we announce from today, let that thing depart from your house. May it depart from your environment. May it depart from your family. In the name of Jesus. Justified. Listen, you are justified to live your life to the full. And no devil has permission to lay hold on you. I speak over your life and your family. I speak over your business. I speak over everybody that is with you. That may the resurrection power of Jesus surround you and your family and keep you and make you safe. Can I hear you shout a big amen, somebody? The devil is a liar. Am I talking to somebody? Hallelujah. It's important for the church to understand that when he rose from the dead, he set us free. Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 10 to 11 and 13 and 14. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Marakata Bashaya. Be strong in the Lord. I tell you, be strong in the Lord. You have been justified. Be strong in the Lord. You have been made whole. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at what he says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on. Stand in the whole armor of God. One of the greatest things God has given the church is the armor of Christ. When Christ rose from the dead and conquered the devil, he gave us that armor. We are justified to wear it so that we can stand. When you put your hope in these scriptures, the fact that you are standing in the full armor of God and that the devil cannot scratch you, you will always escape every weapon of the enemy that comes around your family. Remember it. The problem is that we easily forget. Remember, I told you, the key to all these positions is remembrance. You must remember that Jesus rose from the dead for you to be victorious. Always remember and know that you can never go down. Amen. Anytime I'm praying and I raise up myself and I tell myself that Jesus rose from the dead, I know that there is power for me to live my life. Can I hear you say amen? Wherefore, take unto you, the verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Stand in the armor of God. Stand in the fact that Christ rose up from the dead and he achieved victory for you. Stand in that. You see, in this world, you will face many things. But Christ has won the battle for you and me already. All you have to do is to take your stand. Let the devil know, I'm standing in this. I come against you in the name of Jesus. That's where I stand. When the devil knows where you stand, he will give up. Verse 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And then he began to talk about the other things. And I like that. Then the Bible also says, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand. There are some things you don't negotiate with the devil. You take your stand. I am liberated. Satan, you can't bring me under bondage. I'm here. I am healed. Satan, you can't bring sickness over me. I'm here. My wife will tell you that Friday, last week was a hectic day for church leaders. We had several meetings, including a meeting with the presidential advisor on COVID in Archbishop's office. We had several meetings, Zoom meetings. I sat down to my back. And Friday, before I realized my legs were swollen, I couldn't walk. In the night, I got up, I was praying. The leg was paining me. I started looking for anointing oil in my room. I got one, I poured it on the leg, poured some on my head, and I declared, I am healed. Satan, carry your baggage, go. Yesterday, when I came for the meeting here, yesterday morning, my children kept asking me, how is the leg? I said, it's getting better. By the time I was coming here, all the pain had gone. I only showed the foot to somebody, and he realized, your foot is swollen. I said, if you knew that today, I couldn't have come to preach. But who are you? Devil, I'm taking my stand. Healing is the bread of the children. My health is not in your hands. He won the victory for me. I take my stand. You see, stand in your liberty. Tell somebody, stand in your liberty. But you can never do it until you remember. Remember! Why is it that when trouble comes, you forget? Remember. One of the biggest problems for Christians is that we forget so easily what God has done for us. We forget. But today I charge you, never forget the cross. Never forget the cross. Carry your cross. When you are going through trouble, tell yourself, it is a cross, but I will go through it. And never forget the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he has given you victory. He has worked out everything. You know what? As you sit now, I can see your end. And I know your end is glorious. You know why? I know it's glorious because these positions which God has given to you are meant to glorify you. For those whom he predestinated, he called. When he called, he justified. And when he justified, he glorified. Say, I'm glorified. Come on, shout, I'm glorified. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. My house is glorified. My life is glorified. My business is glorified. My work is glorified. I may be going through a tunnel. I may be going through some things, but the Lord is with me. Soon it shall come to pass, and I will stand where I begin. I believe that I can tell your end if you remember these things. If you remember these things and take your stand, I can tell your end. I can tell your end. I can tell your end when you position yourself here. When you stand in this fact, in this truth, I can tell your end. I can tell confidently that in the next few years, your life will not be like this. You'll be better off. But first of all, take your stand. Tell somebody, take your stand. Listen, when you're going through things, stop thinking about the devil. Think about God. Think about what he did. That alone will set you free. Do you know the people who love thinking about the devil so much that they like to sing about their suffering? One of the songs we grew up hearing, Job Arehuni, Odin Samami, and they used to be the only Christian songs you could hear there. When later I started reading the Bible and understand, I said, why are they singing about Job's? Do you know how many years Job lived? And how long he went through that thing? Why should that be his only song? We don't sing about the blessing Job had. And how he stood firm. He stood firm. He stood even in the olden days, he knew where to stand. He stood. No matter what hit him, he said, I will never deny my God. No matter what I came against him, he said, my God is still sitting there. No matter what anybody said, he said, my God is there. Why is it that as for you, even in the New Testament, anything that comes, you see the devil first? That is your problem. The day you change your perception, and you change your thinking, and you put on a new mind, and you decide to stand in what God has acquired for you, very soon, that sickness will find its level. Very soon, that devil will find its level. Very soon, the poverty will go away. Very soon, the blessing will come upon you. You know why? Just make sure you remember. Make sure you remember.